everyone, and welcome to Actually Podcast. I'm your host, Jasmine. And on Actually, I like to talk about whatever's going on in the world and things that are interesting to me. This week, we've got a bit of a mixed bag. We've got some really rough stories with the five people that perished on the Titan submarine Explorer. I wanted to talk just a hint on some of the YouTube drama that's been going on lately. Constant developments coming out, and just wanted to talk about a little bit about that. And on a lighter note, I wanted to talk about a fashion. Pharrell just had his Louis Vuitton debut, and a couple other people had some great shows for spring summer 2024. So without further ado, let's get started. So at the time of this recording, we have learned that the five people, the few billionaires, and the CEO founder of OceanGate have all perished in the Titan submarine disaster that was originally going to go and view the wreckage of the RMS Titanic. The expedition was supposed to start on the 18th of June, and it went out, and it was only supposed to be gone for about 10 hours. And when they didn't resurface and they lost communication about, I would say, almost 2 hours into the dive, it became basically search and rescue mission. It's a whole thread of information now coming out about safety concerns that were addressed before the actual launch of this vessel. What I'll say is this. I know there are a lot of things going around online and a lot of memes and things like that, and people saying that, you know, you should be able to, you know, be innovative and see certain things and be able to do certain things. To me, my question is, at what cost? You know, in my opinion, and this is only my opinion, that's all I can speak from, the Titanic was a great disaster. So many people lost their lives. When I was growing up, I was taught that certain places and certain so-called burial grounds are sacred. And maybe you don't go kind of exploring and going through, and you kind of respect those who have passed on. This is just my idea. Of course, hindsight is 20/20, but for me, I just don't quite understand the appeal of it. I know that, you know, James Cameron has been able to put money into deep water exploration, where we've been able to learn a lot about sea life and the actual ocean floor, and you know, that's wonderful. But I think selling excursions to go see wreckages and see, you know, the decay and things like that of one of the world's worst tragedies, it feels very macabre to me. It's just not something I would ever be interested in. So going back to the OceanGate company leading up to this Titan launch. So a lot of stories were out over the past couple years, actually. I actually remember hearing about them, where whistleblowers within the company were coming out, writing articles, trying to, you know, sue the owner and founder of the company, Stockton Rush, saying that what they were finding with these tests, because and they were finding certain errors that they feared could be fatal had, you know, an exploration gone forward with what the system could do at that time. And unfortunately, I was watching the BBC and they had the actual emails from deep water specialists who were emailing the CEO, pleading with them to please not go through with the launch and do more testing. There are also stories about workers who were working on the actual vessel saying that there were corners cut. Now, whether that was the case or not, you know, it's all alleged, because these are all things that we're getting now as we're starting to gather information. But it's just really, really unfortunate. It's just really unfortunate that people had to lose their lives when there were just so many signs. There was so much data, so much information, and hubris just takes over, and you know, you take that type of a risk. This to me is a great example of power being unchecked. And to me, that's frightening on any level at all. In this situation, with AI coming out, I'll talk about next time. There was a lawsuit coming out against ChatGPT. I think really goes back to that saying, you know, absolute power corrupts, and power corrupts absolutely. So a really good friend of mine sent me the article talking about the allegations against Colleen Ballinger, whose famous character is Miranda Sings. I haven't had a chance to really comb through all of the information that has come out so far, and I don't want to say too much because I know it's still developing. I don't think Colleen has issued an official statement herself. So I want to be very delicate with it, because I know that the victim has released a statement and released audio recordings and things like that. But again, I don't want to go too deeply into it because it's not something I'm fully versed in. And also it's something we are all kind of learning and figuring out together. What I will say is that this is yet another situation where we are seeing the microcosm of YouTube really showing how so many things can be going on and so many red flags can be popping up, and people aren't really doing much about it. And again, I don't want to go into too deeply because I know there are allegations, and again, she hasn't made a statement yet, and I know things are still unfolding. But so what I do know is that there have been allegations in the past, and in the past there are certain YouTube celebrities who are on her same level, maybe in a different category, such as beauty or lifestyle, things like that, and they have supported her in the past and kind of stood up for her. And I know there are also some now that are starting to speak out and are just being berated by the fan base, by a lot of supporters of the individual who came forward, and people who, again, as I have stated, have come forward with allegations in the past. I think it's extremely interesting that For example, and again, the allegations have come out multiple times, but I know there aren't any formal charges. But for example, I will allegedly pull to or talk about, an example with one of the beauty YouTubers that was one of the huge creators there, had a deal with, a huge makeup brand that's now declared bankruptcy. And a very similar situation happened with that individual, where there are allegations of being inappropriate with people who are minors. And not a lot has come of it. And I think it's really strange. I mean, I think what's great and what I love about YouTube is that the community really holds people accountable, I think better than any platform that we currently have. Definitely better than Instagram, in my opinion. But one thing I will say, as far as the victims go and coming out, it's an extremely difficult thing. I, give them so much credit because with people who have big platforms, who have a lot of followers, there's so much scrutiny anyway, when people come forward with their story about, things that have happened with someone's fave. And they're just completely grilled and pulled apart. And what I've heard is that this person actually has, again, receipts and things like that. It's just wild to me that, again, it's seeing these kind of situations happen over and over again within that YouTube community and not really seeing people charged, not really seeing people prosecuted. It's extremely strange to me. So, what I will say is that I just hope that coming forward has helped the people who have been victimized to be able to begin a process, to a pathway that could lead to some level of healing for them. I could not even fathom the levels of, trauma that they have experienced, and I just send them so much love and so many prayers because, again, there's just so much scrutiny that you already deal with when coming forward in any situation, let alone someone who's a public figure. So this week we saw some runway from Paris Fashion Week, Spring Summer 2024, and it included the debut of Pharrell Williams as creative director of Louis Vuitton. It was a star-studded event, as we knew it would be. You had Jay-Z, Beyoncé, Zendaya. You had famous people actually walking in the show. It was a really beautiful show. It's very much what I would expect from Pharrell. He has impeccable style. And if you've seen or followed him throughout his career, you know that Louis Vuitton has always been a staple for him. As far as the culture goes, Pharrell was the one who introduced so many people to the LV trunks, to that Damier kind of checkerboard kind of canvas pattern that they used a lot, and used that in a lot of his own designs with his own brands that he's either spearheaded or worked with through collaborations with Nigo, or how Nigo worked with, Bape, worked with Human Made, and different brands like that. So it was really interesting to see what exactly he was going to do. I knew there were going to be a lot of suits. I knew there were going to be suits with shorts because that's Pharrell. I loved how he took the Speedy bags and the regular monogram bags and put them in very bright colors, candy-like colors. He even took some of the bags and put them into different shapes that look like toys. That's very much consistent with that whole Pharrell style. It's kind of like grown playhouse kind of thing. One of my favorite things he did was he created a new kind of camouflage print using the Damier checkerboard kind of pattern, where he was able to kind of take blocks that almost look like 8-bit video game and created kind of like a new camo look, which was very interesting. It was something new, something I didn't expect. But he also had a trench that a wool trench that was really beautiful, and it was kind of a scene of Paris, kind of like a landscape, but it was all done in 8-bit kind of video game kind of art, which was very interesting. Of course, the after show was Jay-Z, and Pharrell got up and performed with him. So yeah, I mean, it's a huge thing for LVMH. My final one I wanted to talk about, which was my absolute favorite, because they are my favorite, is Loewe. I absolutely adore Loewe. I know there's a huge conversation now about quiet luxury, which, you know, if you know, you know. It's always been that. You know, the people who are really, really wealthy have always, I think, had this look about them where it's never too flashy, maybe on certain occasions, but it's always about craftsmanship. It's always about the little things. And I felt like Loewe did that in such a cool way. The silhouette was a flared trouser, high-waisted, which I love. It very much hit the back of my brain, where it took me back to being young and wanting this to, you know, only wear men's clothes, only wear kind of tailored look, oversized. This was back before it came back again with Gen Z, but it's very much a cool, relaxed, yet put together aesthetic. They had these trousers in these different materials, and sometimes they would have them in a monochromatic look where the top and bottom were a very similar tone, and they both had shimmer and glitter and beading embedded within the fabric, so that when they would walk the runway, they would just shimmer like the night sky. It was so cool. You know, bravo to Loewe. You know, everything they do, everything they touch is just so beautiful. And here we are at the end of another episode. I hope this didn't sound too crazy. I am recording this at 1 a.m. on a Saturday. I just, you know, I love talking to you guys, and I really try to wait until I can kind of gather my thoughts and just really be motivated to really kind of give you my all. And so I hope I don't sound too crazy. But either way, thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. Bye.